Now, coming up on the program today, I'm delighted to have as a guest this afternoon. Yes, from the AONB, we're going to be speaking to an officer from the AONB. And if you don't know what the AONB is, it's basically that stretch of coast from Amble all the way up to Berwick that's absolutely gorgeous and beautiful. And they are some of the people that help keep it in top shape. So we'll be having a look at that and some of the work that they do, and Holy Island and places like that, and some of the work they do to protect our castles. Can't wait to talk to Mel from the AONB Council. Well, I'm delighted to turn to first guests of the day, and let's get the titles right, because I certainly know one of the faces and voices quite well. It is our own Robin Francis from the Youth Beach Council, and also we have Mel Nichols from the Northumberland Coast AONB. Welcome, chaps.
Hello. Good afternoon.
Nice to see you. Isn't it lovely outside? Oh, well, it is, though, isn't it? I mean, after the ice age, it feels like we're kind of...
beginning spring.
Thawing. Yeah? Yeah, it's nice, isn't it? So, Mel, you're an officer with the AONB, Northumberland Coast AONB. What is AONB for anyone who doesn't know? What does it stand for?
It stands for an Area of Outstanding Natural Beauty, which is a landscape protection mechanism similar to a national park, only we are probably not quite as well understood as national parks.
An AONB, we look out, say, in Northumberland, and we think, oh, that's lovely. What? How come? How does somewhere become an Area of Outstanding Natural Beauty?
We are, in fact, one of the oldest AONBs in the country, in that we've been around since 1958, and it was all due to the energy of a Holy Island parish councillor in those days, who was a bit miffed that, in fact, the area which he thought was, in fact, beautiful wasn't included as part of National Park, really. And so he lobbied to draw the attention of the government, and it became an AONB in its own right.
What sort of a difference does it make, then, having that? It's kind of a status. It's not just a statement. It goes beyond that. So how is it important? How does that status help the Northumbrian coast particularly?
Well, in particular, it's important in planning, because it's a matter to which the planning authority, in this case Northumberland County Council, has to have regard to. So if someone wants to have a development within the AONB area, then it just raises the profile of natural beauty of the area as something the county needs to consider when it's deciding whether something should go ahead or not.
So it's really important, then, not just to say, oh, that looks absolutely lovely, it's barry, it's beautiful, and it's ours, but it's important to actually underline it and to have that status, because it offers various protections and other things, I guess.
It elevates it to a national status. It recognises that this is protected on behalf of the nation, and that recognises its contribution to biodiversity, to cultural heritage and recreational use throughout the UK.
Now, it's an organisation, so it's going back to the 50s, so you've got a bit of oof behind you. First of all, let's just describe a particular stretch of outstanding natural beauty. Where does it run from? What part of the coastline are we talking about?
It's a skinny strip of the coast that runs from the Coquet Estuary, so just north of Amble, all the way up the coast then to just south of Berwick, actually, to Spittal. It's bordered to the east by the sea, and to the west, really, by the first road or railway line.
So it comes in a little bit. It's not just the sand.
No.
It's a bit of the strip of land, that side, which is absolutely crucial in planning.
It is, because it's all part of the landscape. Landscape being a summation of its natural value, its historic value. And you couldn't really protect landscape without protecting some of the hinterland that is part of its setting.
It's interesting that we're talking about protection, and I'm the person who brought the that particular sort of word into the discussion, because there's so much more about promoting, of course. It's not just protecting, but defending, I guess, as well, is important, because there's so much pressure on land use, and people have ideas and they want to do this or bring in this. Let's have another golf course. Are you part of those consultations?
Yes, we are, because the AONB is not owned by the AONB partnership. It's owned by landowners and by government agencies. So we have to work in partnership with various stakeholders, people who own the land or are interested in the land, the responsibility for it, to encourage activities which recognise natural beauty of the area.
I think I'm right, 47 of the councils, I think, across Wales, Northern Ireland and England. So there's quite a few, but it stops at Amble. Is there a reason for that?
There is an aspiration.
I think Hadsden-Durridge Bay is beautiful.
Durridge Bay is unequivocally beautiful,
and
really.
If you want me to be honest, I'd like it to get AONB status as soon as possible for various reasons, not least development pressure.
Well, Carl, you'll be keen to know that there's aspiration, really, for the area to the south of Amble, Durridge Bay in particular, and the coastal landscape, the dunes there, to be considered one day to be added to the AOMB, and there's a process for that. The government has quite a backlog of such applications, really, from around the family of AOMBs. One day, Durridge Bay will take its turn at the front of the queue, and hopefully will join the rest of the AOMB, which is where it probably belongs, really.
Well, I know some of our politicians, local politicians, do listen into the show, so perhaps you might like to give it a nice little nudge up towards the top of that pile and queue so that we can get it designated as soon as possible, because I think it would be great. I mean, surely that's an area of outstanding natural beauty.
Undoubtedly.
Yeah. Well, Mel, we'll come back and find out a bit about what your Coast Group is actually doing, because I know I've had a look at the website and there's an awful lot of stuff that you're involved with, from Holy Island, Cocod Island, all the way up the coast and so forth, heritage management. But let's come back to that, and then Robin, we'll come to you and hear you. I'm looking forward to hearing about the Youth Beach Council and what you're up to there. So going back to the Northumberland Coast AONB, that's Area of Outstanding Natural Beauty Group. What sort of things at the moment are you kind of involved with? Give us a flavour of that, Mel.
As mentioned earlier, we're involved on a number of fronts, really, to look after natural beauty, which tends to mean the natural heritage, the cultural heritage of the area, and also its appreciation by local people and visitors alike. So one area, a key area of work, is in fact tourism and trying to make it more sustainable. So it's about encouraging car-free tourism. We already get upwards of 5 million visitors a year to the AOMB. It's a very small patch, and that sometimes can become quite congested, especially around weekends and bank holidays. So our aim is to try to improve the experience that those people have of the AOMB through encouraging them to come in a way which actually means they use public transport and such like, and make it more green.
5 million?
Indeed.
It's a bit of an intake of breath there earlier when you said, is that really?
That was as of 2004 figures, so I think it's increased in the meantime because of the staycation approach now that people are adopting.
You mentioned heritage, I mentioned heritage management. There's a lot to manage there, isn't there? I mean, castles, and what are we talking about there?
The castles, the cultural heritage of the AOMB are key partners in the AOMB, English Heritage, National Trust in particular, but also the more privately owned ones like Bamber Castle. We just work with them to make sure that they recognise that their attraction is in fact located within the AOMB, help them to promote their area in a way that recognises its setting within the AOMB.
And we also, you mentioned Holy Island in terms of like the startup of the whole organisation. Of course, Holy Island is one of those places where really the squeeze is on, isn't it? Because who knows how many of those 5 million people have been to Holy Island, but I would imagine a lot. So that's quite a good sort of, I suppose, case study of some of the challenges and opportunities that are there.
It's very pertinent you mentioned that, Carl, without any prompting from myself, really, because it is indeed a macrocosm, really, of the work we do in the AOMB. There are very great issues there facing the island and the attractions on the island, both physical and experiential. And we work very closely with the Parish Council, Development Trust on the island, National Trust, English Heritage, local community generally, to address those issues, particularly the issues of traffic, access and parking. We have in fact got a very exciting piece of work coming up where we are hoping to secure some funding from lotteries to address some of those issues, really, which if it comes off will be a very exciting piece of work on the island to benefit it and its local community.
Are you involved, do you have a say on sort of housing development as well?
In the sense of being somebody who is consulted about proposed developments. As I mentioned earlier, the AOMB is a matter which the local authority has to have regard to. So we are consulted on all applications within the AOMB, and we make comments accordingly if we feel that they pose a potential adverse or, in fact, positive effect on the AOMB.
One of the... I had a good look through the website for the organisation earlier on today, and one of the things there I noticed... sounds great. The Farmland Birds Initiative. Can you tell us a bit about that one?
The FBI for short.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a piece of work in partnership with the RSPB. It's a programme to encourage farmers and land managers to farm their properties in a way that not only delivers the economic benefits that they seek, really, but also recognises the environmental benefits that they can contribute as well. So it's not about doing less farming, but do it in a way that also recognises the importance of their farms as habitat for farmland birds, such as yellowhammer and hopefully corn bunting.
Sounds absolutely brilliant. I mean, I'm a big fan of our local environment, and one of the things I love is the diversity that we have here. And actually, I've just remembered there's something at Holy Island. I'll have to ask Tom when he comes in, or maybe you know it, this weird thing that sticks to you. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, unfortunately, that doesn't belong here, really. That comes from New Zealand. It's called piri piri.
That's it.
And it gets into the fur of dogs and the socks of walkers, and then gets trampled all over the rest of the county. And there's a serious invasive species which we are seeking to try to address, or encourage the authorities to address. Yeah.
One of the greatest things I've ever seen in terms of wildlife was at Holy Island, just when I was... there's this little sort of like garden where you can sit. There's a couple of, you know, sort of benches, and we were just sitting in there, you know, as you do on a day trip with some friends and having a couple of sarnies. I thought, what's that, you know, that's trying to get into that flower? It can't be a hummingbird. It's too small. And I looked it up and I took a photo of it and watched it, you know, in, out, back down, back up, horizontal, in, out. What on earth is that? It was a hummingbird moth right there on Holy Island. Never heard of such a thing, never seen such a creature. And I was just amazed, you know, and we've got such fantastic flora and fauna are kicking around. So I think it's really important to protect that. So I'm all for you guys. I think you're the good guys.
We think so too, but we do rely on the actual people who own the properties and visit them to actually to be good guys too.
And we need the youth.
The young people. The future,
Robin,
of the OMB.
We're turning to you.
Caught in the spotlight suddenly.
You're involved, Robin, with something called the Youth Beach Council.
Yes.
Essentially, sounds great.
Mm-hmm. Essentially, how it came about, Carl, was I've been working on a six-month placement at Northumberland Coast AONB under the title of Young Advocate as part of an initiative by the Changemakers organisation. And basically, the aim is to encourage and develop exchanges between the host organisation and young people. So in the case of Northumberland Coast AOMB, it was very much developing the engagement between young people, both within the AONB, but also the communities bordering the AONB. But to make sure that it was kind of a two-way exchange, it wasn't just a case of the Northumberland Coast AONB passing on information and trying to target it more at young people, but also to really get a chance to engage young people with regards to what they felt was important. And also just to get, in some ways, a better idea of how young people are using the coastline. And of course, I think one of the great things about Northumberland Coast AONB is the fact that it's not an organisation that is saying, no, you can't do this, you can't do that. It's about saying, yes, everybody has every right to enjoy the Northumberland Coast, but it's about making sure everyone does so in a responsible way.
I think that's what I was getting at, because I was sort of talking defence there earlier on, but really there's so much more about that, and the word opportunity is very important. Mm-hmm. And this is a great space that we have to live in and love and enjoy, work in, have our leisure in, swim in, jump, skip, all those things. And even, dare I say, sand surf now. Kite, you see.
Erosion.
I had to get something in there. But it shows. I mean, it's a developing space, isn't it, Robin?
Indeed. I mean, of course, as you say, there are a lot of sports that take place now. There are a number of surf schools along the coast, obviously for good reasons. Increasingly, the AOMB area is in Northumberland is becoming associated as an excellent area for beach-based sports because the waters are so clean and just because the surroundings are so beautiful. Of course, I've developed this initiative of the Youth Beach Council, which I'll talk about shortly. However, this is not the first time that the Northumberland Coast AONB has engaged young people, because of course that there is the existing AONB Young Rangers program. Mel, I'm sure you can describe it better than I could.
Yeah, the Young Rangers has been a piece of work ours for some years now, helping young people to do sort of physical estate management work actually within the AOMB area. So young people between the age of 13 and 19 predominantly go out a couple of times a month to plant trees, repair boardwalks and do all their sort of physical works and have a great time and get very muddy doing it.
So we have this pre-existing involvement and integration of young people and what in some ways is at a very kind of almost physical level in immediate way. Of course, so the AMB is, the Northumberland Coast AMB has this existing partnership where, as Mel said before, some of these landowners and organisations which are involved in work along the AOMB coast area essentially meet once every 3 months to essentially discuss these issues. Mm-hmm. Over with all the best intentions in the world, it is what we might describe as made up as the usual suspects. Everybody tends to be over a certain age and of a certain background. The partnership has recognised this, and they had hoped to get a young person involved, so they kind of freed up a seat at the partnership meetings for a young person to come along and attend. Mm-hmm. However, from other youth work I've done in the past, I recognise the difficulties with this is, first of all, attracting a young person in, and then, not to sound drastic, keeping them involved, but also making sure that their contributions are proactive rather than reactive. So rather than just sitting there perhaps nervously only answering yes or no when everyone turns around and goes, oh, do you think this is a good idea? But actually making sure that they are volunteering essentially for their own thoughts and from their friends' thoughts, issues that they feel really need to be addressed. The two main obstacles I saw to this was, first of all, when you're young, I think the formalities of these meetings can actually be quite intimidating. Mm-hmm. And the other one, essentially, is that I realize it can be quite nervous when you're younger and perhaps lacking in confidence to be able to speak your mind at these meetings without feeling, well, am I speaking really on behalf of all young people within the AONB? So from this, we've started to create a group that, for the time being at least, is called the AOMB Youth Beach Council.
Brilliant. Mm-hmm. No, it's a great idea. I mean, I think that's really important, and all ages should be represented. So, mm-hmm. I mean, that's great that that's happening. Mm-hmm. And also alongside that, so there's the sort of, if you like, getting involved in the policy, there's also the practical things that are happening there.
Yes, we're going to develop some potential interesting projects for the Youth Beach Council. For instance, I'm not sure if you've been aware, but there's the beginnings of a possible Sea Houses work up there, which they're beginning to have some influence in there. Aside from that, of course, as Mel's highlighted, along the Northumberland coastline, we do rely a lot on the tourist money that comes into the area. And yet this, of course, requires a very careful balance between the needs of local people mm-hmm. and the needs of tourists. And of course, this affects young people just as it does their parents. So certainly we're beginning to see some interesting involvement there where young people can put in, especially as young people are particular users of public transport. It can obviously be difficult in those summer months to access other areas of the coastline.
One of the features that we recognise for the AOMB is, in fact, its dark skies, which are quite a precious resource in the UK these days with light pollution. So we're not quite in the same league as Kielder, I have to confess, really. We're not officially a dark sky park like they are, but still, the dark skies of the AOMB are very much a feature of the AOMB, which we would seek to try to protect through appropriate lighting provision.
That's very interesting, that, because I know that there's a very active astronomy group, I think, that were operating at one of the, I think it was the visitor centre at Hawksley, which unfortunately got burned down. I know they were pretty keen on it for that very reason.
Yes, it's a fledgling project for the AOMB, but something we are very keen to upper gear on, so we will be plugging into current initiatives actually to try to further that project really.
So that was a great place for it. Do you know the place, I mean, the visitor centre up at the wildlife reserve there?
Yes, that was obviously a very tragic incident, really, and it's pleasing that steps are afoot to try to replace it.
There's a website, isn't there? Just give us the website address for anyone who's interested to find out more.
Yes, it's Northumberland Coast AOMB, but if you put in Northumberland Coast into any Google such search engine, then you'll fish us up.
Just give us that again one more time, please.
Northumberland Coast AOMB .org.
Okay.
All one word.
So you can check that out anytime on the web. Of course, you can email us if you're listening online, and there's a little email button there on the homepage of the website, all the www.lionheartradio.com. And you're listening to The Weekending Show with me, Carl Steinson, and still here are two live guests, first live guests of the programme. It's Mel Nichols and Robin Francis from the Northumberland Coast AONB, and Robin specifically, who's dealing with the Youth Beach Council. So there's some great things happening, chaps, and people are welcome to, of course, get involved with your organisation on different levels, can't they?
Yes, Carl, we've already recognised the young people work that Robin's doing with the Youth Beach Council and ourselves with the Young Rangers. But as you say, all people from local communities or visitors can get involved in the AOMB in various ways. In the summer, we have events, really, which can be arts walks on the Northumberland Coast Path or geodiversity interpretation walks. We also hope to have some dark sky events, as recognised earlier, so keep your eyes open for those and come along and support those. Support the Coastal Castles Connection bus, really, which is a way to not only support Arriva, but obviously support the AOMB by having less cars in the AOMB. And mostly, just when you come to the AOMB and you're on the beach, just be aware you're in the AOMB and try to recognise it for that, really. Go to our website, which we gave before, northumberlandcoastaomb.org, to find out contact details, or just contact the county council who host us, really, and ask for the AOMB and be put through, and we'll certainly point you in the right direction.
And is that a bus going up to Bamber, is it?
The Coastal Castles is a partnership piece of work with Arriva. It's badging the 501 service, which traverses the coast from Alnwick through Craster and all the way up to Bamber, as you say, and back into Belford. And we're very hopeful that that gets used to such a degree that it becomes an hourly service and therefore becomes an even more useful resource to local people and visitors to the AOMB alike, really.
Sounds great to me. Very important as well, because, of course, it's got to be accessible, hasn't it?
Yes, the AOMB is a working landscape. It's not an ivory tower. It's the home to many people. It's their livelihoods, as well as a place to visit for tourists. So it's a very special place.
So people can get in touch, all ages, young people, particularly with yourself, Robin, if they want to come on, get involved with the group?
Yes, both the group, like we said, we have both participation element in the group, but also we do a lot of fun activities. Most recently, we did a road trip along the Northumberland coast, seeing some of the more interesting sites of interest currently to Northumberland Coast AONB. Our next meeting is on the 8th of March from 5:30 till 7:30 p.m. and that'll be taking place in Amble, the precise venue to be confirmed in the next few days. If you are interested and you want the details, we can put you onto our mailing list if you contact us through the same avenues as Mel just described through the Northumberland Coast AONB website.
Great stuff. Thanks very much for coming in, chaps, and have a lovely rest of the day. And be nice to chat to you in a bit, see how things are going on the, you know, further down the line, and just see how maybe George will get that designated status soon. I hope so.
I would welcome coming back on the show, Carl. I'd welcome George Bay joining the AOMB too.
Let's hope so. Well, Mel Nichols, Robin Francis from the Northumberland Coast AONB, thanks very much for coming in. It's been really interesting, actually, and I enjoyed the website a lot. Thought it was very good. A lot of great things you're doing there. I must mention, though, in relation to the Northumberland Coast AONB group, there is an excellent website, actually, you can go to get a bit more inspiration, if you like. And there's ideas there for families, teachers, and individuals who are looking for sort of find out what kind of activities or experiences you could have right here on this fantastic coastline of ours. And the website is all the W's dot R Coast RC. ourcoast.org.uk. That's ourcoastourc.org.uk. And you can get loads of information on there about events and activities you can get involved with on the coastline all the way up brilliant, beautiful Northumberland.